Please turn with me in your Bibles to Amos chapter 7. The missions conference has been a blessing, but you already knew that. Amos chapter 7. Before we begin studying Amos chapter 7, beginning in verse 9, shall we pray? And ask that God will speak to our hearts and that he might call some missionaries. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and honor and glory. You are our God and we are so happy that you're our God. You're the only God and you're our creator and provider and sustainer and you are wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of this missions conference. And we ask, Lord, that you will raise up prayer warriors for missions and givers for missions. And we ask, Lord, that you would raise up some missionaries. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd speak to our hearts. I ask that you forgive me for my sins. I ask, Lord, that you fill me with your spirit. I ask that I might not be distracted. And Lord, that you would help me to give your word clearly. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amos chapter 7. We're going to begin by reading verse 8. Amos 7, verse 8. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. It is a privilege, and it's an honor to be called to give God's word. And if you are not called to give God's word as a missionary or a pastor or as a preacher that preaches regularly, it is still an honor to be able to give God's word through witnessing or through guest speaking, like, for example, if your pastor is sick or maybe your Sunday school teacher is sick and you're asked to step up and take one service. It's an honor and it's a privilege. And if you teach the children, just remember they outnumber us and their souls are important. And that's an honor. And it's a privilege. One thing that many Christians, especially if you're kind of new, one thing that scares us or troubles us when we're called on to witness or have a Bible study or even maybe give a devotional is we'll say, I don't know what to say. Good. You don't need to have your own message. God wants us to give his message. As soon as you start giving your own message, well, first of all, people start turning off. I'm very sorry to tell you, and I learned this from personal experience, they don't care. But if you give God's word, oh, they care. Some of them love it. And others get really angry really fast. But they care about that. And God wants you to give his word. Now, when you give God's word, there is a lot in there that if you weren't saved, you would disagree with. And there are plenty of things in there that you know this is true, but you're not so comfortable with the material. And I don't mean you don't understand it. I mean, you know what it is, but you don't want to be the one to say that. And especially if you're called to be a pastor, a missionary, where you're speaking four times a week, you're going to come to something that you kind of wish you could skip. And you might sometimes spend some time thinking about whether or not you're really going to do that passage next. But then you realize this is what God wanted the people to know, or he wouldn't have put it in his word. But not everyone gets that when God's word is presented, it's from God, not the messenger. The messenger is just the person who's been honored and privileged to share God's word. Now, I don't see anything timid about the prophet Amos. If you read this book, we know it's God's word, but I just don't see him as timid. And I personally, I'm not offended by people who are timid. I'm one of those people. And I think there might be some people in the Bible that maybe by nature they were timid, but Amos wasn't one of them. But imagine having to be the guy who said, well, God told me to tell you, I'm not going to protect you anymore. And your religious places are going to be desolate. They're going to be destroyed. And your holy places where you worship, God doesn't like it anymore because of the way you're abusing it, and he's going to destroy it. And your king's going to be overthrown, and there's going to be war, and you're going to be destroyed. I don't imagine that that was fun to say, especially when you're the only one saying it and the rest of the country doesn't like it. But that is what God called Amos to say. That was his message. That was his mission. So we're about to encounter our first point. Missionaries are not always appreciated. Please look with me in verse 10, where the Bible says, then, so we mean after Amos has given the message of God, then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Let's start with looking at who got upset. This person is Amaziah, and he's the priest of Bethel. Now, I'm going to give you a little quiz here, especially those of you who were in the adult Sunday school. So we have a priest here named Amaziah, and he's from the northern kingdom of Israel. Is he a good priest, or is he a bad false priest? And we know that because all of them were, all of them in the northern kingdom. So this person, his life is being a priest for a false god. He's got this whole area, this city or town called Bethel. And he is the one who's getting food and money for leading this entire area in false god worship. That is his job. And suddenly this guy from another country comes and starts preaching. And this prophesying he's doing includes how Amaziah's town, all his idols are going to be torn down. And the whole country is going to be overtaken. There's going to be war. And the very king himself is going to be overthrown. And so missionaries are not always appreciated. Sometimes they are hated. Not always, but sometimes they are. And sometimes, this is our second point, missionaries get in trouble with the government. Amaziah, the priest, he wasn't just going to take this. He hated Amos's message. And he sent, or he contacted, he sent word to the king. In other words, he told on Amos. He reported him to the government. And this is what he said in the middle of verse 10. Amos hath conspired against thee. It's a conspiracy. Amos is a conspirator against the king. All Amos did was give God's word. But now he's being reported to the king. You know, if someone reports you to the president, maybe they'll throw you in jail. Maybe they'll cancel you. But when someone reports you to the king, they can kill you if they want. Sometimes missionaries are not appreciated. And sometimes they get in trouble with the government for doing nothing other than just faithfully preaching God's word. That's all it takes. And in the end of verse 10, the Bible says, the land is not able to bear all his words. We can't take it anymore. This is too much. Our next point, sometimes missionaries are not appreciated. Sometimes missionaries get in trouble with the government. And sometimes missionaries are misrepresented and misunderstood. Look with me in verse 11. Verse 11. This is part of the report that Amaziah gave to the king of Israel. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Now, if you compare this verse to the preaching back in verse 9, actually, it's not fake news. That is what he said. But he's misrepresented. That message was not from Amos. Amos was not in conspiracy with some other nation to overthrow Israel. This was the message from God. All Amos did was report the news. And he did it well. He did it right. God was pleased with him. But he's being misrepresented. Missionaries sometimes are not appreciated. Missionaries sometimes get in trouble with the government. And missionaries sometimes are misrepresented and they're misunderstood. And that's not all. Please look with me in verse 12. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos. So, get this straight. This is not that Amaziah sent a letter to Amos. He confronted him face to face. So, I'll just tell you now, our next point is sometimes missionaries are in direct conflict with false religions. Direct conflict, not indirect, direct. They're directly in trouble with them. Verse 12, also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, remember what a seer is? They're a prophet that sees visions. O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. What is that about? Well, to understand this verse, think with me for a moment, and you're going to have to put what you know about true missionaries aside. True missionaries, it's not their idea to give a message. It's not their idea to be a missionary. God calls them. And they're just faithfully giving God's word and doing what God wants. And they go where God wants them to go. They say what God wants them to say. And they do it faithfully. And hopefully they don't complain. And they just say thank you to anyone else who helps them. But we need to think for a moment about a false prophet, a false priest. So we know why a true missionary would do what they do. It's because they love God and God's called them and they just want to please God and faithfully serve him. But what about a false prophet? Why? Why would anyone waste their life preaching and teaching about a false God? I mean, and that's it. That's what you do for however many hours they work a week, is just tell people lies and make false sacrifices to false gods. Why would you spend your life doing that? So let me ask you a question. How many of you here would say, I'm not ashamed of my work, I love God, but he's giving me a secular work, just normal work, and that's what I do, but I serve the Lord. I think about him all day long. I also, I witness when I can, and during my time off, I try to lead my family in worshiping the Lord. I go to church. I serve the Lord how I can, but my job is secular. Okay, nothing wrong with that. But I want to ask you folks, why do you do that secular job? Yes, but let me ask this. If tomorrow morning you wake up and find that miraculously you are a billionaire, would you go to work tomorrow? Would you call in or have someone else do it for you? Would you really go to work if you were a billionaire? Or would you say, you know, I don't think I need to work anymore, and I don't care about my retirement. They can have it. I'm happy with my billion. Why do you do your job? It's the money, it's the food, it's the living, so that you can enjoy your family, and so that you can worship God, and so that you can serve him. You do the job that he gave to you. You do it as unto him. But if you had all the money and food in the world, you'd probably quit, right? Even if you love your job. I mean, it's kind of nice to have yourself as your boss and you decide how much money you get paid today, right? So we do our jobs for money, for food. Why do you think the leader of false religion does their job? Is it not money and food, right? You with me? So, if I were a false prophet and a false teacher of a false God, what do I think the motivations of Amos are? What do I think of him? Yes, he's just another one of me. Except now, he's come to my turf. Okay. Here's this guy from another country. This is where these people that I'm preaching to, their food is mine. Their money is mine. I just have to do my job right and I will have all the money and food I want. And now he's coming here to steal my money and my food and my people. He's a threat to me personally and to my family. That's what they're thinking. Now look with me again. In verse 12, and Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah. Go home. And that's what missionaries get told sometimes. Go home. We don't need you here. We already have religion. We already have our God, whatever his name is, and whatever false God it is that they have there. They think that they're fine. And they sure don't need you. There wasn't a welcome sign when I went to the Philippines back in October of 1992. There was not a welcome sign. There was not a line of people asking me, how can I get saved? There was nothing like that. So Amaziah told Amos, go home. Go home to Judah and do what? There eat bread and prophesy there. So missionaries are really misinterpreted, really not appreciated, And this guy is even thinking, the reason you're coming here is to get food and money. This is our place. Our food's for us. We don't need you here stealing our food and money. Go home, preach there. Get their food and their money. You're fine back there. You don't need to come here. Right? Missionaries are not always understood, not always appreciated. They get in trouble with the government. They're misrepresented. Even when they quote you verbatim, they still don't see it the way you said it. And missionaries are often in direct conflict with the culture. Now, I know, I used to hear it in the 90s a lot. You have to go by the culture. But the more I've been a missionary, the more I realize culture is just the way people sin in a certain area. And if you're going to preach God's word, it's not going to agree with the culture. It just doesn't. And I don't care what culture you're talking about. If you give the Bible, and maybe we're getting it more and more in America now, they think that we're politically divisive and that we're dangerous. And all you did was quote a scripture verse. Right? Okay. Missionaries get in trouble and they are in direct conflict with culture. Look with me, please, in verse 13. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel. This is Jeroboam's chapel, not yours. And it is the king's court. This is the king's country. This is the king's court. He's the leader. And this chapel here at Bethel, that is the king's. This is not yours. You don't belong here. We're canceling your visa. Go home. All of these things. Let's just be very honest. Who wants to put up with this? Who wants government problems? And before you think that there is somebody, who enjoys working, you know, dealing with the IRS? Right? We don't think of tax season as a blessing now, do we? There's those few that get some money back, maybe they do. But a lot of us, we don't care for dealing with the IRS. Who wants to be in trouble with culture? Some of you may be a part of a family in which maybe your family's saved, but extended family's not. And you get in direct conflict anytime there's any type of occasion because you want to please God, someone else wants there to be drinks. And by drinks, I don't mean water. You get in trouble. They want you to not go to church this one Sunday because there's some kind of party, but you're faithful to God. And they're like, can't you just give one Sunday for your family? Don't you love us at all? Okay, we get in conflict with those who don't know Christ all the time. If you are a true servant of God, it is so hard to avoid being in trouble with culture. And when you're a missionary and you go to some other culture, it might be fine the first couple of weeks, but when you start preaching God and they start understanding, you're going to have some conflict. All these things listed. Let's go back to the introduction. It is a privilege and it is an honor to be a preacher of God's word any chance you get. But with all of those problems, who wouldn't quit? I mean, it is tempting. It is tempting to quit. What can help you not to quit? What can help you to keep on keeping on, and keep on doing the job that you know that God has called you to do as a missionary? I know of one thing, and I think Amos is like one of the most perfect examples of it. He knew his calling. He was sure in his calling. Let's look with us. Please look with me at the next couple of verses. Amos answered, and all he defended himself with was his calling to the ministry. He was sure of it. Verse 14, please. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Amos was accused of just being there for the food, of preaching for money, preaching for food. And his answer is, back when I was in Judah, I was not a prophet there. I wasn't even in training to be a prophet. I was not an apprentice. And my industry was food. We had food there. I did not come here for the food. I was fine where I was with food. We had fruit. We had sheep. I didn't need to come here for food. That's not why I am here. While I was minding my business and doing my job, God got a hold of my heart, and he called me to come to Israel to give his word. That's why I am here. It does not matter what the king thinks. The king may think that he owns Israel, but the King of Kings owns Israel. And when someone tells you that this is not a Christian country, or that you have to beware of what you say in this country, remember, before these people who don't believe in God, or they're afraid of Christians, or they think that we are dangerous and that our Bible is controversial, God founded this nation, and God created this land, and God created every single one of us. And those who do not believe in God, yet still he's their creator. Right. And if God calls a man or a lady to come and share God's word, he has the right. He can call whomever he will. Now, if God does not call you to be a missionary in some foreign land, that is really all right. Be the one to support them financially. Be the one to pray for them regularly. Support them however you can. Be on their side and their encourager. If God does not call you to that, he's called you to something else. You do what God has told you to do. But if you believe God may be calling you into ministry, make sure of your calling. It is a high honor, and it's a privilege. But you need to be very sure of your calling, because there is just a list of reasons why you might want to quit. But if you're sure in your calling, you know what God wants you to do, and nothing needs to stop you from doing exactly what God wants you to do.